Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for another fun and fur-filled hour of Fervently Speaking, hosted by pet lifestyle and industry expert, top dog Eileen Proctor. Nationally renowned as America's Canine Connections Coach, the top dog has a knack of sniffing out and sharing information about products, services, activities, and news that improve the quality of life for pets and the people who love them, all in an inimitably entertaining style. Whether it's dogs, cats, critters, you name it, the top dog has really got her paws on the pulse of America's pet-loving society. It's time to sit, stay, and pick up your ears for Fervently Speaking, and your host, top dog, Eileen Proctor.
Hey there, and good afternoon. It is my favorite day of the week. It is hump day. That's Wednesday, and it's even better because it is the day before Thanksgiving. Yum, yum, yum. Happy Turkey Day to everybody out there, to you and your pets. Later on in the show, we're going to be discussing some of the ways to make sure that you and your pets do share a fabulous Thanksgiving holiday. But before then, we've got a very interesting topic with somebody who is a bona fide expert in the field of interior decorating for your pets. And that's why we call this this episode Interior Decorating with Your Pet in Mind. Our special guest today is Suzanne Lasky. She's an allied member of ASID, and she's the founder of a company that's based in Arizona called S Interior Design. Now, Suzanne has got a very interesting niche within her company. In addition to designing for people in general, she's realized the need within the marketplace for pet-friendly interior design service. And so 4 years ago, she developed a company called Paw Print Design Services, and she prides herself on providing stunning interior design with pets in mind. Suzanne is a passionate pet owner, and I know that she also, like me, is a very fervent animal welfare, passionate person in that area, but she wants everyone to have beautiful, low-stress, functional, and comfortable homes that they and their pets can enjoy. So Paw Print Design Services offers offers unique and innovative ways to pamper four-legged family members and incorporate them into the design process of the home. We'll find out how she exactly does that in just a little while. But everybody, let's put your paws together and give a big fervently speaking welcome to Suzanne Lasky. Hey, Suzanne, how you doing today?
I'm great, Eileen. Great.
I'm in Phoenix. You're in Scottsdale, so we know that the weather here is gorgeous. Maybe not so much for people throughout the country, huh?
Oh, we're so lucky. It makes that horrible summer all worth it, huh?
Absolutely does. So I've got my four-leggeds laying at my feet while I'm doing the show. Tell us a little bit about your fur family before we talk about your company.
Well, currently my fur family consists of one member, Andy, who is a rescue. She just celebrated her seven-year birthday, and we got her as part of our family when she was one. And she's a fabulous Australian Shepherd mix, and so smart and so wonderful.
That's awesome. I'm sure she feels the same way about you, by the way.
I think she must. She has a good
time. Excellent. So you basically were your pets the impetus for you starting Paw Print Design Services? Tell us how that all came about.
Well, really it came about because the majority of my clients, my residential clients, had four-legged members as part of their family, and it creates some unique challenges. And unfortunately, some people think, well, it's too bad. If I have a bunch of four-legged family members, I can't have a beautiful home to look the way and feel the way and smell the way I want it to. And so I began to really delve into that and addressed it as my niche. You know, and Eileen, as you know, in business, everyone wants you to have a special niche. There's lots of designers out there, but my niche differentiates me and it allows me to explore a passion of mine because, as you know, I absolutely adore animals. I'm an advocate for animals, and this allows me to combine so many passions. So that's how it all began.
Yeah, I know that, unfortunately, a lot of pets are actually ousted from their families because they do horrible things like, oh, my goodness, everybody, that four-letter word, shed. They shed. And so people all of a sudden go, wow, that's not what I had in mind. And I'm like, really? That's amazing because you know my motto. You know, if it's about fur, I'm all over it. And if you take a look at my clothes, it's all over me. You know, shedding to me is nothing. Your clothing or your furniture, you know, it's not really complete unless it's got some pet fur on it. But I would imagine not everybody feels that way.
That's correct, and sometimes there's one member of the household who feels as you do and as I do, not such a big deal, but then there's other members that are very bothered by it, and you need to create harmony in the home, so the pet becomes something that's creating a discordant or non-harmonious situation and stress in the home. So I developed Paw Print Design Services so we can, again, have a beautiful home and pets, and everybody can live harmoniously and happily if they address certain things. Mainly that although we call them our fur babies and our four-legged children, they do have unique needs intrinsic to the fact that they're a dog or they're a cat or what have you, and sometimes we tend to forget that. So we need to remember that and make sure the home is designed with that in mind.
Okay, so maybe we should talk about individual species to start, because I would imagine that you know, the furry critters are one thing, but then, of course, we've got the fine-feathered friends and our scaly pets and things like that. So let's talk about dogs and cats, and maybe let's just start with dogs, because I don't know, I just had to pick one, and you know how that happens. So let's talk about some examples of what you think we need to consider if we are dog parents.
Well, first of all, again, we need to evaluate the home from their perspective. One fact that often surprises people is that dogs smell literally 200 times better than you and I do. So 200 times better. So one of the very important things is addressing the senses, the five senses. And for dogs and cats, sense of smell is at the top of that list. So we need to make sure the house smells in a way that is not discordant or just going to be bothersome to the dog. So if we light a lot of candles, incense, if we use certain cleaning products, they could be wreaking havoc with our dogs, and we don't even realize it because they don't communicate exactly how we would communicate it. So really evaluating the whole entire home with the five senses in mind, smell again being one of the most important ones. They don't care what color your walls are, of course, but what they will do is rub their beautiful bodies against their walls and leave behind their body oils and sometimes a little bit of dirt, perhaps, as, you know, they like to spend time outside. So there are considerations about the color and the type of paint in terms of the finish of paint or other wall coverings that you might use in your home. They don't care, again, what it looks like, that's for us. So we design with the practical in mind, but it will address some stress on your part, meaning, you know, you don't have to clean off the fur, or not the fur, but the dirt from the dog or the body oils from the dog. So we don't want to ever use flat finished paint if your pets are going to rub against the walls. Am I answering the question, or did I go afield here, Eileen? Eileen, are you still there? Eileen, seriously? Hello? Eileen, am I still with you?
Yeah, I hear you. Do you hear me?
No, I do. I had lost you.
Yeah.
You make sure your flooring is right on target because your dogs spend the majority of their time on the floor, if not your furniture and your bed. So make sure that the floor is appropriate for them from a comfort and also not leaving things around that they might like to taste. So we need to make sure they're appropriate chew toys for the dog. And all dogs are like people. Different dogs like different things. So it might be a little bit of a trial and error to figure out what's going to work best.
Right.
So.
Well, let's talk about the different types of flooring, because I think that that's something as well, because carpet would probably hold odors more so than, let's just say, wood or tile. So are you suggesting that nobody have any carpet in their house?
No, not at all. That would be unrealistic. But there are different types of carpet with different lengths of fibers and different composition of those fibers. So there are certain recommendations around that in terms of what the best type of carpeting there is. And remembering, as you were joking earlier, they're going to shed. I mean, there are some breeds that don't shed so much, but mostly they're going to shed. So
yeah,
that's a reality. So you want to perhaps make sure or look to a carpeting that would hide the fur. So even if you're a very, very good housekeeper and you're vacuuming several times a week, you still perhaps would want to make sure you're picking a color tone and or pattern that would hide the fur, so you weren't bothered by it when you woke up first thing in the morning.
Yeah. And the other thing about the smells and the odors is making sure when we clean, we're cleaning, you mentioned it earlier, we're cleaning with the right type of products. And I know that we lost transmission for a little while, but did you discuss those, or could you discuss those with our listeners?
Well, you know, it's actually very straightforward, and it's very much in line with what we're hearing as population overall. We need to go natural. Really cut the chemicals and stay as organic and natural as possible with whatever we're using on our floors, especially with the pets in mind.
What type of products are you talking about? Without mentioning any particular brand names, unless
okay,
you'd like to, what do you recommend?
I'll give you a concrete example. In my home, I have wood laminate and cork flooring, as well as some area carpets. And really all you need is a way to remove the fur, and then you just need a little bit of simple green, like a very small amount, and some warm water. And nine times out of ten, that's going to take care of your issues, your dirt. I think, as you know, we tend to overuse the amount of cleaning products because that's how the manufacturers have trained us.
Right.
So use
yes,
less and
say,
use natural. Yes, use less and use natural. I mean, go back to the vinegars and waters and the baking sodas. And you know, if you don't want to go that far, Simple Green is a great product because you can mix it to different solutions based on what you're cleaning. So.
And what about products like Nature's Miracle or all those type of products that they're enzyme eaters? Do you recommend things like that?
It depends. I mean, if you're having a problem with incontinence or you know, house training, there definitely are products that can address that. As we know, anybody who's been to a pet store, there's a large amount that say they're enzyme eating. And one of my favorite products for addressing pet odors is, and I won't mention a name, it's Zero Odors Out. And you can get it at Bed Bath & Beyond now. Years ago when I came upon it, it was not available retail, but now it is available, and it's fabulous because it's all natural, and it doesn't give you a scent or mask odors. It literally takes them away. And Eileen, I found this product when my 19-year-old cat was starting to have problems finding the litter box. So, and unfortunately, he's been gone for 5 years. So, not 5 years, 4 years. So there are products out there that are organic and natural that won't, again, cause issue with your pet's sense of smell, and that might be harmful to their physical self.
So you brought up the cat and the litter box, so I want to take a little bit of a jump here, and let's talk about cat lovers, cat parents that are looking to be able to have some basic tips about decorating with the kitty, the felines, in mind. So why don't you shoot us a few of those?
Okay. Well, if you're fortunate and you have a laundry room, that's a great place to place a cat litter box, especially if you have base cabinetry as part of your setup. because simply take off the doors to one of the base cabinets, and that's where you can place your litter box. Mm-hmm. And you can even have a fabric covering if you want to get something that looks nice. So, you know, you don't live it down. The cat can get around a fabric covering. So just, you know, I've Velcroed decorative fabric to coordinate with the window treatments in a laundry room. Some of us are not as fortunate to have a true laundry room. I count myself among those less fortunate. You know, if you have a laundry line, yeah, exactly right. If you have a laundry space, maybe that's not going to be the best place for the litter box. Sometimes people have an extra guest bathroom. Obviously, that's a place where the litter box ends up, sometimes even in the shower stall, so they can have the shower curtain visually hiding it. Now, sometimes some of us aren't lucky enough to have a spare bathroom. Again, I count myself in this description. So then you have to get a little bit more creative. And I have done things as far as building, literally building cat structures that, again, depends on what the design is and the decor and what the needs are around it. But I've built ones that have plants on top, and then the bottom is for the cat litter box, and it's on a tray, you'd call it, that slides in and out. So while, you know, the cat litter box is there, it's contained in an attractive, customized structure that can go in a more public place in your home without being an eyesore.
Right. And I know that nowadays there are actually some, I've seen them in a lot of mail order catalogs and also some specialty boutiques where they've actually got end tables that you can purchase already built. If you're not handy, I count myself. You may not have a guest bathroom or a laundry room, but I am not very handy with the hammer. But you can actually purchase. They're absolutely beautiful. In fact, if you didn't have a pet, you might even want it. But they're end tables that allow ventilation, rear access for the kitty to get in. And so it kind of allows your pet to coexist with you while actually having beautiful furnishings. So have you seen those?
I have seen those, and I think that's great. Obviously, this is a challenge that a lot of people, you know, face, is why they developed and have these things available. That is absolutely true, and it's great that those options exist. And if you don't want to have furniture, the other thing I've done is in a powder room or a guest bath, you spoke about having rear entrance. You can have entrance from the side that, you know, if there's enough room, the cat doesn't need a ton of room to get in and out. You just configure it so it looks like it's still a cabinet, but it has the right venting and access to the box for the cat and for you when you need to clean it. There are some really creative ways to get around that, because that is probably the biggest issue people have when they have cats and cat litter boxes.
Well, I think that that's one aspect of it, is where to put it. But, of course, and I'm not out to make any enemies of my cat friends out there, because, remember, I am owned by a cat. Hello, Autumn. I know you're listening. But it's the odor that we have that comes from the litter box. So, obviously, we want to make sure we're cleaning it often. But based on what you said before about the smells and the things that we can use, have you come up with any kind of great ideas for how to allow our kitties to be near us and yet not have that telltale litter box odor?
You know, you said it. It's just a matter of literally cleaning it out every day, several times a day if you're able to. And again, I recommend zero odors out if it does smell a little bit unpleasant versus anything with a scent that is going to be potentially disruptive for your cat or dog. So try to go natural, go organic, go with things that remove smells versus mask them. So.
Yeah. And what about people, I know you're not a pet behaviorist, but there are people who actually do train their cats to eliminate in the toilet. I've seen that as well. I've never gotten my cat to do that, but, you know, that's obviously an option as well. Have you seen that?
I have not. I too have read about it, heard about it. I've never seen it firsthand. Sometimes cats like to go feral a bit, and there's a whole, you know, that's a whole other discussion about when you do let them outside. You know, is there a contained area? I had a client who had literally a room devoted to her cats. It was an entire what used to be a bedroom, and she built it out so it had, for lack of a better description, a cat run.
Oh, wow.
So she was able to, with a high climbing level and a lower level, so she was able to train them to go out the cat door into this contained space, so it was safe. They weren't going to get eaten by coyotes or run away or anything like that.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, that's fabulous. And, you know, again, majority of us probably don't have the desire or the resources to go that far. But if you do, there are some fabulous creative solutions, and it can look great. It's not going to be disruptive to the overall look and feel of your space.
I've been fortunate that I've got extra rooms. We do have a room in the house. It's called the cat room. We don't yet have Autumn's name on it, but it's called the cat room. And the cat room is basically set up with her comfort in mind. So what we wind up having is the door, we want to make it so that she can get in, but the dogs can't get in after her because she deserves some private space as well. So we actually set it up so that there was a chain on it that allowed the door to stay open for ventilation, and she could sneak in because it's amazing how those cat bodies can move in all sorts of contortions, and she could get in, but the dogs couldn't get in. And so what that meant was she could have a beautiful cat-oriented area full of privacy, and but she could get out whenever she wanted to. So it was kind of her little cat haven. And you mentioned before the whole concept of the cabinets in the laundry room. We had a cabinet in the bathroom that we used, and we put the box inside the bathroom cabinet and used some of that elastic that you would use, like, for banding if you were going to be sewing pants, let's just say, that go into the pants waist. Some of us have more need for that than others, but we had some extra, go figure. And so we used that, and that allowed the cabinet door to stay open so she could open it with her head and get in there and then get back out, but the dogs can go in and get little Scooby treats or whatever people
right.
like to call those. So,
litter box snacks. Mm-hmm.
Yes, litter box, exactly. But let's get off of litter boxes for a second and talk about some of the other things that is cat owners, cat enthusiasts, that we should do when we are designing for our cats in mind. What else can we do?
Okay, thank you for asking that. I mean, again, going back to the fact that we call them our children, we treat them like our children, the reality is they have some unique needs, and we always have to go back to from where they came, you know, their history in the world. Cats need high, sunny places. They need high places to climb. People get upset and annoyed when the cats jump onto the tops of their, you know, their entertainment units or refrigerators or, you know, high furniture or try to climb their drapery because they just need to get up high. The reality is that that's a need that the cat has. It's ingrained in the cat, period. It's not going to go away. So let's not ignore it. Let's design around it and make sure that you have an attractive solution for that. And it's kind of endless, and it really is specific to the house and what the individual homeowner's design aesthetic, required aesthetic is. But I just recently, for a woman, she had, they're not cat condos, they're cat trees. They literally had details of branches, and then they had little cubby holes that they can go into, and they're just incredible. But they were old, and they were covered in pink and blue shag carpeting. So we updated those, and I had my reupholsterer in a product called Krypton. Krypton is antimicrobial, anti-odor, very, very, very tough. Yet it looks and feels like fabulous, comfortable upholstery material. I've upholstered furniture, lots of furniture in it. So I thought, well, this room needs to look great. These cat trees have the potential to be really stunning artwork almost. So we covered them in a gorgeous cinnamon-colored Krypton fabric. So the cats are not going to be able to tear them apart with their claws. And they're going to be anti-stain, antimicrobial, bacteria-resist, just fabulous. The product Krypton, the fabric, started in the healthcare industry probably around 10, 15 years ago. And just within the last 5 years has transitioned over to the residential market. So it's just amazing what you can do with it. It does have some unique properties that need to be addressed when you're building furniture for seating. It needs to be vented and whatnot. But the long and short of it is that there are options. to give the cats what they need and still have it look great and smell pretty good too. Because I don't know about you, Eileen, but giving a cat a bath, not so easy.
That's why God created professional cat groomers.
Yeah.
And that's why, and yeah, so, all right, I never heard of Krypton, so that's good to know. Should any interior designer or furniture store know what Krypton is, or is it a specialty item that only Fervently Speaking listeners and you know about?
It is available to the public nowadays, as everything is, but it's not widely known. In fact, I had to, you know, educate my upholsterer as to what it was. So it's available, and other designers may or may not know about it. I see it as a great solution for our four-legged kids, as well as, oh, by the way, our two-legged kids, also a great solution when you're dealing with that, because they do have some things in common in terms of their ability to mess things up.
All right, let's bash the kids. All right. No, I agree with you. And like you said, it's important. You have to know. I mean, if you've got kids or grandchildren, it's important to know that we're decorating with them in mind as well. So if you can have two birds with one stone taken care of. Notice I didn't use the four-letter word that would normally get thrown in there. Yeah. So if you can do that, all the better for you. So you were talking about upholstery and, you know, all the different types of things that you could use. Let's you get some rule of thumb here on the types of fabrics that tend to attract and hold fur the least. What are the ones you should never use? If you've got a pet and you're concerned about having fur being on your furniture, what type of fabrics should you not use?
Nubby fabrics of any kind, and specifically chenilles, which is very, very commonly used on upholstery because it's very comfortable and it looks good. But what happens with a chenille or any nubby textural fabric is that the fur actually doesn't just sit on the surface. It'll weave its way into the fibers. So we can go over it with our little fur remover tools and we'll do, you know, we'll help for sure. It'll help the situation. But with those sorts of fabrics and fibers, the fur actually almost becomes woven into it over time. So it's really hard to take care of and have it have a good long life when you have that sort of fabric and upholstery and tattoo come onto the furniture.
Right. So chenilles, you said. Now, I was going to ask you about micro suedes because those are so popular now because they're easy to clean for stains.
Right.
But does micro suede, is that a pause up or a pause down when it comes to upholstery?
It's a pause up. It's definitely a pause up. It's very good because, and the reason why, Eileen, is it's going to hit on both places. It's going to be comfortable for the humans because it's soft and suede-like, so we like the way it feels. But it'll be comfortable for the pets. But because it doesn't have a woven aspect to it, the fur will not.
Right.
It'll get on it, but it's much more easily removed.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah,
okay.
Definitely. And
so
one thing. Yep. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, so micro suede is a good type of a fabric for us to look for when we're looking for our sofas or our chairs.
Absolutely. Microfibers are great. Uh-huh. And Krypton actually has a fabric that feels and looks just like a microfiber, but it has the added attributes, positive attributes of the antimicrobial, anti-stain, extra anti-stain, and it doesn't capture scent or smell. So,
gotcha. Good. Good. Just going back to the kitties for a second, are there certain types of fabrics or upholsteries that will be less inclined to claw at? Because I know that's an issue as well.
I'm teasing. They, again, have an innate need to scratch. It is not something that they're doing to be mean to you, to destroy your stuff. It's an innate physiological need, so we need to recognize that and make sure that they have appropriate outlets for their need. Just like a dog needs something to chew on, the cat needs something to scratch on.
Right.
So if they're trashing your furniture, part of that's a training issue that you can work on, but also you need to really train them not only to not claw your furniture, but they need to cross. So that gets into what we provide for them and how we entice them to use those objects. You know, anyone who goes looking at cat furnishings or toys, there's anything with texture, like the sisals, the jutes, the hemps. Sisal is much stronger than jute. It's also more expensive. So if you start looking closer, you'll notice that the things that are made with sisal versus jute, or area carpets that are made with sisal versus jute, are going to be a little pricier, uh-huh. but they're absolutely a better natural fiber in terms of longevity, how long they're going to hold up to a cat and how they want to treat it. So
okay,
I just, the same person who has the cat trees, I just got her a sisal area rug too.
Nice. Is it, do they come in colors, or are they strictly like the burlap
color?
They do.
They come in all kinds of colors. It's just amazing, and you can do different bindings, fabric bindings on the edges. I mean, really stunning stuff. And there are different levels of bulkiness to them. I'm going to recommend, from a cat perspective, you want to stay with something that's smoother versus super open weave or bulky, because it'll be easier for them to unravel it.
Right, and I would imagine if it's super bulky and things, then the cat hair or the dog hair or whatever we have, again, we have that problem of it getting embedded into the fabric and getting harder
right.
to get it out. Yeah, okay.
Smoother is better, but
Yes, smoother is, okay, so general rule of thumb, you've heard it here first, smoother is better when it comes to decorating with your pets in mind. How about some general rules about decorating with your pet in mind? Let's not, you know, be specific about the breed or the species or anything like that. Why don't you give us, like, your top four or five?
Yeah, we did hit on some of those already, so there's some of the redundant, but let's go through that. When you can, I do recommend skipping the wall-to-wall carpeting unless you're committed to vacuuming it at least two times a week, because the pet fur will get trapped and pet oils will get embedded and break down the fibers of the carpet over time. Sorry, that's my dog.
Hi there.
Hi there, Andy. Don't use flat finish paint. Your pets are going to rub against the walls, cats, dogs, both of them, and the paint will come off with the dirt you're trying to clean off.
Oh,
so,
that's interesting.
Flat finish paints, yeah, they're just not going to do it. I mean, most of the manufacturers of paint are touting that they have a flat finish paint that's a lot sturdier than paints of the past, flat finish paints mm-hmm. of the past. But I got to tell you, the reality is they're still not nearly as good as a eggshell or low sheen in terms of taking, letting you clean it without fear of taking the paint off with the dirt.
Okay.
And when you are cleaning, make sure, again, to try to use more organic and natural materials, and less is a better way to go in terms of the amount of product you're using. You want to match the color of your upholstery and bedding to your pet's fur color as best you can and still have a beautiful home and a beautiful design.
Really?
Aesthetic. Yeah.
Now, wait. I got that. But I've also heard, you're bringing out the animal advocate in me here. I have heard that people actually give up their pets when they change the color of their furniture. So let's say that, yeah, I mean, it's horrible. So we want to make sure that we're not using that as a total rule of thumb, listeners.
No, and I'm sorry if that came off that way at all. I'll give you a concrete example from my own world. I had a dark brown sofa, and I have had a golden, a tabby cat, orange golden tabby cat.
Mm-hmm.
His fur absolutely showed on the dark brown sofa, so I had a beautiful chenille throw that pretty much matched Corona. His name is Corona. And he loved to hang out on that chenille throw because I draped it over the back of that sofa. It was a very attractive throw. Nobody would have known that it was sitting up there for that purpose, but it indeed was sitting up there for that purpose.
Okay.
So absolutely. For another client, we did a custom sofa. I got extra fabric and made a pet throw for her, specifically because she said her dog always loved to sit in this corner of the sofa. So we had a pet throw made, so that went over the seat in that corner.
Okay, good. You're making me feel a lot better now, Suzanne, because I was imagining everybody calling you, getting advice for their current pet, and then when they get new pets, it's like, okay, out with the pets and in with the new stuff. And, of course, I could not abide by that.
Oh, nor could I. And you know
okay,
what?
Okay, good.
They're not the right pet parents. But
well, yeah, and that's the difference, by the way. I use this analogy a lot. There's a difference between a pet owner and a pet parent, because a pet parent will do anything to make sure that their furry family members, their four-legged family members, their feathered friends, that they are, in fact, incorporated into things. A pet owner, just because they have possession, doesn't make them a good guardian or parent. So thank you for allowing me the opportunity to get on my soapbox and say
not
that.
Not at all. I am standing right next to you.
Yep, there you go. So throws are okay. Throws are okay. We can do throws. Couch covers, I mean, are you gonna get nauseous if I mention couch covers and things like that?
Nauseous is strong, but generally they never look so great.
Right.
There are other solutions that I think we can look to other than that. Everyone's, desires and budgets are different, but there are some just fabulous creative solutions if you're willing to take the ride. And if I can just encourage anybody who's listening, after we get off the phone, take a look around at your home and your spaces from the pet's perspective. Recognize what their intrinsic needs are as dogs and cats, and make sure that you're not doing anything that is wreaking havoc with that reality.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure your dog has a secure den-like space to retreat to. Why do they sneak under our coffee tables? I had a client whose dog loved to hang out in the snail shower in the master bath. Why? Because they need a secure den-like space, and that is back to nature. That's where they come from. So we just need to create those spaces. My solution in my own home is as simple as having a very nice-sized, comfortable dog bed covered in Krypton fabric, by the way, that backs up to the back of a sofa. So when Andy's on that bed, that sofa back is, a kind of enclosure. It's a very, enclosed space. It's not open, and the bed's not in the middle of the room. So,
right.
Really, what I do is evaluate each individual space and home separately. Obviously, there are too many generalities that can come over here. So depending upon the architectural structure of a space, we'll come up with different solutions that will give you a beautiful home. Like Krypton dog bed cover coordinates beautifully with the rest of my furnishings in the room. So
right.
We don't ignore how it all looks, but function first and understanding what the pet's needs are and all of that are just as, if not more, important. So
that's great advice, and I appreciate that. I saw somebody once who had a few small dogs, they were chihuahuas or dachshunds. They actually hung a lot of pictures low to the ground so that the pets could look at the pictures. What do you think of that?
The pets could care less. That's a human.
Okay.
That's a human thing. Again, we treat them like our babies and our children, and we love them like that. But they do not care what color the paint is, what kind of pictures you have on the wall. They care is how it smells. Most importantly, what it feels like. They're spending the majority of their time, most pets anyway, on the floor. So what does that feel like? So if you have all hard tile, you need to have a comfortable space for that pet to hang out in also, be it on your furniture or the right size pet bed. I mean, a lot of larger dogs, they get all these calluses on their elbows, if you will. They spend their whole lives on tile and concrete outside. And so the floor is, huge in terms of not only taking care of it from the human perspective, but it smells right from a cleaning product and it's comfortable, or there are options way down there. So crawl around on your floor and look at it from their perspective. Look at the baseboards. Look at, all of it. And then, smell. What products are you using? What candles are you burning? Or sprays, whatever the case might be.
And while you're down there on the floor smelling and looking, pick up all those dust bunnies, because they don't look so good either. I promised our listeners that we were going to be not just dogs and not just cats, and I know that you have done some rather unique jobs out there, and I understand that you once did a design consultation for a parrot that lived in a condominium.
Yes. It was truly a unique experience. The parrot was large and loud. Kind of scary for the familiar with big parrots and birds. But anyway, but this parrot was this woman's child, literally. I mean, she felt the way she about this parrot that a lot of us feel about our dogs and cats. And she had developed, she wanted a special room for the parrot. It did have free reign in the house. It wasn't really, it had a beautiful there, but it was not with the gate was always open, so to speak. But she believed, and I actually don't know if she was right or wrong, and it doesn't matter, she wanted to create a jungle oasis for her parrot. So her parrot could get back to nature, if you will. So we brought in a lot of live potted palm trees and all different really beautiful rope structures that we strung across the room, and climbing things for the parrot and for the parrot. So this, if you can envision a small bedroom, it was probably about 12 by 11, maybe larger, but still a huge room, but it was a room that was dedicated to be this parrot's jungle oasis, because she was thinking correctly, and she wanted to recognize the parrot's needs and where parrots originally, or, you know, their origins, if you will. And a condominium in Scottsdale was not their origin. So that was about it. It truly was my the most unique opportunity. I've not had anything that unique or that distinct, you know, not dog or cat since then, but it was a lot of fun. I'm smiling really big right now. You can't see me, of course, but I'm just remembering.
Yeah, I'm smiling big too, because you know what, you know, any species that we bring into our lives that we've taken the time to actually bring in, and we owe it to them to be able to make it the best life possible. And I'm thinking of this woman. I don't know a lot about birds. They kind of scare me too. But I could just imagine the various fun things that you did to make this woman and her bird feel like they were even more close than ever. So thank you for doing it. Did you have to the jungle? Did you have to make it very humid in there? I mean, did you have to read up on facts and what it is?
I did not address the air moisture levels. One thing, though, that definitely I did use, I used high gloss paint. All of the colors, which are very bright and brave, and think jungle. But I use high gloss paint, which I generally wouldn't do in a home, you know, maybe certain kids' spaces. But this parrots they're not so clean. You know, and I was learning a lot about this bird as I was doing this. But, you know, so again, it's like the parrots would care less what level of sheen you put on your paint. But for the parrot mom, you know, we wanted to make sure that she can wash down those walls when she needed to and not take off the paint.
Yeah, it sounds fascinating. I bet you have some great photos of that with a very smiling parrot, huh?
I don't know if the parrot likes me so much, but anyway, that's a whole other subject.
Hey, I have a question for you about decorating. You do this for a living, and you do it in the Arizona area. You do it within Phoenix and Scottsdale, but I know that people can contact you through your website, which is, go ahead, give a shameless plug here.
Thank you, and it's very simple. It's www.sam, interior design, and that's singular, not plural. So let me say that again. It's www.sam, interior design, and I have a blog that's updated and a constant contact newsletter I send out to people, and it's all informational-based. It's not only about design with pets in mind. It goes, you know, beyond those borders. But I absolutely do consults for people. I can do long distance consults. They don't have to be in Arizona. There's a process there. So this is not limited to a physical on site visit necessarily. It just requires a lot of good communication between myself and the client.
Great. So it's not limited to people in Arizona. So I know that this this show is actually being listened to nationally and even internationally. So if anybody has got any type of a question about how to do interior design with your pet in mind, Suzanne Lasky from S Interior Design, but also more importantly and near to my heart, her very special Paw Print Design Services is at your service, and you can get her at www.sinteriordesign.com. And give us your email just so that people can send you an email.
Oh, that'd be great. My email is Suzanne, S-U-Z-A-N-N-E, at sinteriordesign.com.
Awesome. And by the way, any of you pets that are listening out there, if you are not happy with the way your house looks,
Why don't you hop on over to the computer and start pawing at it. You can get a hold of Suzanne as well. And this would make a great gift for the holiday season, by the way. I'm assuming, I know that it's the end of November, but would people have time to make changes in their home before the holidays and all the guests come over that would be able to improve what the home looks like as well as make it easier to incorporate pets, Suzanne?
Absolutely. There's plenty of time. There's plenty of time. And some of our guests might not love our animals as much as we do, so there's another consideration right there is how we're going to work around that.
They should not be invited.
They're not welcome. They're not welcome.
Cross them off the list, for gosh sake. But and do you have a gift certificate and things like that that you can provide to people? Because, you know, sometimes we go to people's homes and think, God, this place needs help, but you know, we're not in a position to do it. So a gift certificate might be a really good gift for somebody to help them be able to make their house be more beautiful and allow their pets to be more of the living process, correct?
Absolutely. I can and do customize those gift certificates for whatever the person needs or wants. And you mentioned it, Eileen, and I'm just going to hit on it one more time if I'm able to. I do all sorts of interior design, from new builds to just hourly consultation, everything in between. I work with the small commercial market as well as the residential. Wouldn't it be great if people can really start bringing their pets to work with them, Eileen?
Oh, you know it. And I think that the home office or the office environment is a place that really needs to start incorporating to be more pet-friendly. And as I said, my kids, you know, Happy is laying here. I think I've bored her. She's sleeping. All right, well, okay, Happy. Pleasant dreams there. And Cassie is here as well. But my office wouldn't be complete unless they were here with me. And so I agree that anybody that wants to bring their pet to the office or make it easier for them to be able to have their pets involved in their work should definitely call Suzanne or visit her website and check out what it is that they can do to make that happen.
Absolutely.
Is there any
last-minute
information you'd like to share with the Fervently Speaking listener, Suzanne?
Just to kind of hit on something you said earlier, Eileen, one of the main reasons cats end up at shelters is because they're so-called ruining things in the home. And what I want to do, I want to help treat the cause, not the symptom. So if we can successfully set up your home space to accommodate your pet's needs, the likelihood of destruction is going to be lessened. And then we're not going to ignore your aesthetic needs and your functional needs as two-legged people who pay the bills, who pay that mortgage. That's absolutely not given second priority. It's a concurrent effort. So it's not about, you know, we're going to make this house all about your dog or your cat or your parrot, unless you want it to be that way. It's really finding the balance point so both the two-legged and the four-legged inhabitants can have a fabulous environment to live and spend time in and harmoniously together.
Yep, absolutely. Suzanne Lasky from S Interior Designs and Paw Print Design Services. Check her out at www.sinteriordesign.com or email her at suzanne@sinteriordesign.com. I can't thank you enough for being on Fervently Speaking and shedding such good light on what we can do to incorporate our pets into the interior design process. And I hope you all come back in the future and talk with us some more about great tips for doing that.
I would love to. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Give Andy a big hello for us, and
okay.
We'll look forward to talking to you in the future. Have a great day.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you. So that was some really great information that we heard. It doesn't sound like it has to cost an arm and a leg or a leg and a paw or anything like that in order to be able to cohabitate with our pets. So I hope you all check out what Suzanne has said, and you know, check out her website because it really does have some interesting articles. I wanted to share some information, since we've been mentioning Thanksgiving a lot, about things that we have to look at to make sure that we do for our pets during our foods that we, you know, are very inviting to our pets that they've not smelled in quite a while. So I'm going to encourage everybody to recognize that, you know, the sights and smells of the holidays are great for us and very tempting for our four-legged friends. So let's keep some things in mind. First of all,
despite your dog's willingness and, in some dogs' cases, insistence on pulling up a chair to join you at your holiday meal, you got to really think twice about sharing the holiday foods, especially if your pets don't get table scraps during the rest of the year. Most of the traditional holiday foods are far too rich and spicy for pets, and they can trigger gastrointestinal discomfort, vomiting, and, well, you know, bouts of you-know-what. So make sure that you are keeping your pets away from the special holiday foods, even greasy turkey, things like that. Keep it away. Poultry and ham bones, they can splinter and lodge in your pet's throats or on the gums or roof of the mouth. They can cause damage to the stomach or the GI tract. So let's make sure that we are keeping all of those tempting smells and tastes away from your pets. And the top dog rule of thumb is, if in doubt, throw it out. Make sure that you give your pet a really satisfying portion of his or her regular food just before your feasting begins, and that should reduce your pet's inclination to beg for food. Be sure to reinforce the no people food rule to your family and friends who are coming over to visit. And no matter how cute, hungry, or deprived your pet looks, it's all an act, okay? So don't worry about being mean, and I put mean in quotes, because it's really what is best for them. The same caveats apply to desserts and snacks. It's not just an old wives' tale that chocolate is dangerous for dogs. In fact, depending upon the type and amount of chocolate ingested, it can be toxic or even fatal. That's especially true for semi-sweet or baker's chocolate, and because it contains really high levels of caffeine and something called theobromine. As little as a half ounce per pound of body weight can stimulate your pet's heart and nervous system and have really serious results. So please, let's make sure that you keep the sweets away as well. And finally, while alcohol may help you get into the holiday spirit, it can do just the opposite for your pet. Alcohol can be very harmful, if not deadly, to your pet. So don't leave those half-filled glasses of alcohol sitting around, because Fido or Fluffy could come over and lap it up. And, well, all I could say to you is it will not be a happy time for you with your pets if you have to visit the emergency room. Just a few tips there for your pet. And I'd like to end today's Fervently Speaking right around Thanksgiving time with my feelings about how my pets enrich my life and the things that really help make me feel better about having them in my life. So I'm going to take a few moments to give thanks to my four-legged blessings. In addition to the universally relished traditions of the Thanksgiving season, my annual fall festivities include this much-anticipated four-day weekend, during which I get to share true quality time with my four-legged family members. And those happen to be Cassie, my golden retriever, Tracy, my cattle dog mix, Happy, my, we don't know what she is, but we love her anyway. She's a little golden nugget. It includes Disney, my 14-and-a-half-year-old border collie. And, of course, I've mentioned her earlier today, Autumn, my tortie with white kitty cat, who reminds me that I'm not the center of the universe. Thank you for that, by the way. But it's a time that's replete with their soulful brown eyes and kissable noses and jubilantly waving tails. And without question, I give thanks for their presence in my life. I'm really thankful for their unconditional love, not just during these precious 96 hours, but all the year through. The unbridled joy and whines of delight each and every time I enter the front door, even when I'm only gone for 45 minutes. I'm thankful for their understanding looks when I come home late from work and grudgingly muster a mere half dozen tosses of the ball or lackluster tugs on their rope toys. I'm thankful for their unselfish flexibility about my unpredictable meal times that revolve around my unstructured and constantly changing schedule, not to their rumbling tummies. And speaking of tummies, I am thankful for the smooth pink skin that is so willingly and therapeutically offered to me at precise times when I need it the most. After that hectic day of nonstop phone calls, the traffic-laden highways, and the last-minute can't-be-missed deadlines, I often wonder who truly benefits more from the soothing, meditative, time-honored belly rub ritual? Is it the fur kids or me? Well, I'm thankful for my doggy daughters and kitty kids' reminders of the beautiful and magical world that we live in, where everything is fun, interesting, and amazing, regardless of how many times it's been experienced. While at this stage of my life, the sighting of a ladybug is rather mundane to me, for my girls, it's the source of endless wonder and head-cocking, the opportunity for a game of follow the leader, something to share with me through a series of excited yips, yaps, and meows. Sharing, that's another thing that I'm really thankful for. The generous assortment of personally selected gifts that I receive for my kids on a regular basis. From one, it could be a slobbery tennis ball, mouth-delivered into my lap, extra moist, just for me. And from another, a well-chewed Nyla bone or freshly shredded Wooby on my pillow. And I know that they're thinking, pleasant dreams, Mom. It's their most cherished possessions, and they're bestowed freely without my even asking. How many humans would do the same? And on this annual extended Thanksgiving weekend, I give thanks for 4 consecutive days of uncharacteristically late wake-up times, highlighted by seasonably cool breezes through open bedroom windows and a few extra hours of quality cuddle time with my furry bedmates. By the way, I sure hope they're listening to this and taking the hint. A few extra hours of napping with you is a beautiful thing, my kids. So to Disney, Cassie, Tracy, Happy, and Autumn, and to all of the fur kids out there, I'm wishing you all a very, very wonderful Thanksgiving holiday, and looking forward to being back with you again in 2 weeks. That's the second Wednesday or hump day of December, where we will be discussing the best holiday gifts of the season, some new stuff, some tried and true stuff, but ways for you to be able to give great gifts to your pets and the pet lovers in your life. That'll be on Fervently Speaking coming up the second Wednesday in December. Until then, this is the top dog, Eileen Proctor, your canine connection coach and the voice of Pet Rescue, reminding you that adoption is the best option. Have a wonderful holiday. Speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Fervently Speaking with your host, Top Dog Eileen Proctor. To find out more about today's topic or to suggest one for a future show, email topdog@ferventlyspeaking.com. That's topdog@ferventlyspeaking.com. And be sure to tune in every second and fourth Wednesday of the month for another fun and fur-filled episode right here on the Boomer and the Babe Network on Blog Talk Radio. Fervently Speaking is a production of Boomer and the Babe Incorporated. Contact them at boomerandthebabe.com.